bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba.
Boy, what a fast week we had.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you get that day off in the middle of the week, it makes that week just fly by, doesn't it?
I had 2 days off.
Oh, yeah, you took Monday and Tuesday off.
Does that mean I have to come in tomorrow?
You should come in tomorrow for at least an hour or two, yeah.
What am I going to do?
Just hang out. Just, you know, add some expertise to whatever show you feel fit. Just jump in on whatever they're doing.
Will Lou let me on?
Lou would let you on in a minute. He'd love to have you on.
Do you like Green Day?
I do.
So do I.
Yeah, I do.
I really, truly like them, and I really feel like we're too old. We're not their target demo.
We're not supposed to like Green Day, but yeah, they put out some good music. I like them.
I really love them, and there were people that also loved them and filled the park, the Hyde Park, in London's famous amphitheater. A massive crowd, over 65,000 people, and they're waiting for a Green Day show to begin. Which, why did they have to, I guess you go before the show starts, but it just seems like they should start once it's filled up.
Right.
I don't know, maybe they got there early.
Is it Green Day that has the lyric, "I've been around the world and found that only stupid people are breeding"? Is that a Green Day song?
I don't know their whole lyric catalog.
Kevin, does that sound like Green Day?
It sounds, I know the line, I'm trying to place it, I'm Googling it right
all
now.
All right. I think that's Green Day.
I know that I walk these, walk alone. That song is great.
Oh, Bill, you're close. It's Hardy Danger.
Who's that?
Who is it?
Been around the world, find the only stupid people are breeding.
Yeah.
Flagpole sitter.
Oh, right. Harvey Danger. That's who sings that.
Who's that?
You know it. Hold on here.
You'll recognize it once you hear it.
Do they sound a little like Green Day?
Yes, they do.
And is it Dookie like Cookie or Dookie?
I think it's Dookie.
It's definitely Dookie.
Yeah, right. It's Dookie is what it is, yeah.
So I'm going to start saying Cookie. Can I have a chocolate chip Cookie?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say, Cookie.
This is Harvey Danger.
Right. You'll know this.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah.
I just love, I think that's one of my favorite lyrics of all time. Because it turns out to be kind of, not 100% true, but fairly accurate.
And what's the line again?
Been around the world and found that only stupid, well, he'll sing it better than me.
Totally remember this.
It has a Green Day sound.
Yeah.
It's in here somewhere.
It's coming. It's coming. He's building up toward it.
We got an hour.
Yeah. No one ever does.
You know, he kind of looks like Kurt Wagner a little bit.
Yeah, he does. He looks a lot like Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. I don't know what it is about that lyric, but every time I hear it, I nod. I'm like, yeah, there's something to that.
Yeah, but that's not nice.
That's not nice at all.
Hi, Brad.
Like
Brad.
It's not
as much as Oprah.
It's not only stupid people who are breeding, but in his findings, because he, as he pointed out, he's been around the world.
We haven't.
I haven't. You haven't.
All right. I get it. I really love Green Day, and 65,000 people love them, too. As I mentioned, this massive crowd gathered in London's famous Hyde Park. They're waiting for the Green Day show to begin, and they pipe music through the speakers.
Sure.
Just to give the people something to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And a song that I think you can't hold back from singing came on, and this is it. 65,000 people in unison sang along to this song. Oh, it's hard to hear this part. Just listen. People singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
How about that? And no one prompted them to sing it. It just happened naturally.
I got goosebumps. I really do. I mean, this featured prominently in Wayne's World.
Sure.
It's a great song. It is so hard when it comes on the radio not to sing along with it.
Right.
65,000 people in unison just waiting for Green Day to come on. And a day earlier, I was coming back from my private beach club.
Oh, listen,
with the
you
family.
Have your own beach club?
It's my own, the
That's
Wendy Snyder nice. Beach Club.
That's excellent.
The song came on our radio, and if I can just share with you the Snyder Mac version of
all right.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right. I see a little silhouette of a man, Scaramouche, Scaramouche, way to the man, and the thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening. Galileo! Can I ask a question? I don't want you to be hurt.
Yes.
Was your family drunk? You guys all had been drinking, hadn't you?
No, and it came on, and Dylan brought his friend Clark Crawford, so he was part of the singing.
Right.
I don't know who did the high end of everything. And Jim just decided to record us. He didn't sing along.
Yeah.
I cannot stop singing when that song comes on.
Right.
Don't you fall for it almost every time?
Yeah, and it's a tough song, obviously, because it's more opera than it is. It's rock opera is what it is. It's a hybrid of the two. And not everyone could pull that song off, but I think adding Clark Crawford to the group
made it.
That's what I think put you guys over the top. You would have sounded fine without Clark Crawford, but I know anytime I'm singing, I'm like, where's Clark Crawford?
Thunderbolts and Crawford.
Right. He just makes it better somehow. I don't know how he does it.
Well, I wanted to share that, and I'm telling you, if you're listening out there and that comes on the radio, good luck not singing along to it.
I'm just impressed that a crowd that size, 35,000 you said?
65,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
And that's in London. And they were being polite. They didn't want to sing over each other.
If I can put that number into perspective, that's more people that were at last year's WGN Walk of Fame ceremony.
I love your analogies.
It is.
Your mathematical analogies.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because people go, I can't even imagine how many people that is. So you take the number of people that were at the WGN Walk of Fame and add more people to that number, and that's how many 65,000 is. That's a big number.
Watch the video, though. It's online. You can just Google it, and it's pretty cool to see this packed place, someone... You know, it thought to, I'm going to videotape this. That's where our video comes in handy.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. Can I pay tribute to somebody that I have never paid tribute to before and probably never will again? It's somebody that I'm not particularly a fan of normally. No.
Still not.
That's a great guess, but it's not Kevin Hart.
Windy City Live?
No, you won't see that. You won't see that. Mike Pence is the Vice President of the United States, Wendy. And he did something yesterday that I have to say is the most human thing that I have seen or heard that Mike Pence has done since drawing the office of Vice President of the United States. Are you aware of what he did?
I don't know.
He shows up at the Kennedy Space Center. They did a special presentation at the Kennedy Space Center, which is in Florida.
In Florida. Right? I've been there. You've been there?
I'm not.
My mom took us there when some rocket was taking off. Something was taking off.
Were you there?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. I just remember it was pretty cool.
That's excellent. I didn't know that. No, I've been by it a bunch of times, but I've never been inside of it.
It's really cool.
I don't know why. I love space. I'm a big fan of space. All right. So he's there. Mike Pence is there. And there's a sign on one of the things. They take him into this room that is called the Spacecraft Clean Room. Now, I've never been there, so I don't know what goes on in there, but I'm guessing stuff that we're not supposed to know about.
That's a silly name.
It's the Orion, although Orion told me it was pronounced differently.
Orion the Hunter.
That's not how you say it. They're in a room called the Orion Spacecraft Clean Room, and Mike Pence is standing there with other guys who are not as important as the vice president, but have the same kind of a look. The business suit, we're not messing around, we're important people look. And he's standing next to this machine that has a sign on it that says, do not touch. So what do you think Mike Pence did?
Of course he touched it. You can't put a sign there.
Like I said, I understand what Mike Pence does. He's the Vice President of the United States. And I've never seen him do anything quite this humanistic before, but you see him, there's photographs of him online where he's got his finger and he's touching the machine, like right below where the sign is, as if to say, what are you going to do about it?
I'm the vice president.
Right. If I come into a room, if I come into a clean room like this one at the NASA Kennedy Center, and I see something that I want to touch, no sign's going to hold me back.
That's kind of terrible that he touched it. I'd expect that from you or me or a kid.
Right. Somebody of our stature.
Without question.
We're going to touch it. But don't you think it's human nature? Don't you think there's part of our brain, and I'm trying to remember who used to do this bit. Where did I see this where somebody's in a room with a red button? Was this on Family Guy? Was there a scene on Family Guy where they send Peter Griffin into a room and all that's in the room is a red button and a sign that says, do not touch red button? So he just looks around and he goes, I'm touching. And he touches the red button.
It sounds Homer Simpson.
Oh, maybe. Maybe Simpsons. I want to say Family Guy, but I could be wrong.
Guy.
No?
I don't find it funny.
But don't you think there's a part of us that if told...
Oh, yeah. When somebody says, don't look, what do?
You look.
Every time.
You look.
Don't look. Kim Gordon just walked in.
I looked.
I know.
Even though you told me not to look. Because there's a rebellious
yes.
part of our brain that says, I must look.
But it also draws your attention to it.
Right.
Like if you see something and it says, do not touch.
Right.
You know what? If that sign wasn't there, I bet you wouldn't have touched it.
Right. Right.
But as soon as it's pointed out to you.
Right.
You got to touch it.
Right. Jack Benny used to tell this story. I'm trying to remember who it was. So Jack Benny and George Burns get called to England to meet with the Queen, right? So Jack Benny says right before, because George Burns keeps saying to Jack Benny, I'm very nervous about meeting the Queen of England. And Jack Benny the whole way to England keeps saying, well, why would you be nervous? She's a human being. She's like me and you. It's me and you, and it's the Queen of England. And she's not that different from us. And Jack Burns keeps saying, yeah, but she's the Queen of England. And he goes, well, so what? So right before the Queen of England comes into the room, Jack Benny says to him, George, it would be terrible when you met her if you just started laughing. And then they walk in and there she is. And George Burns couldn't prevent himself from just laughing uproariously. There was nothing to laugh at. But he planted the suggestion.
Well, that's it. And they were there together. Like, you've done this to me before, too. And it's like, if he was there by himself, he never would have laughed.
You could hold it back.
Even if, like, a tour guide said, please, no laughing.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, Jack Benny told him that.
Right. It would be horrible if you laughed at her. It's the Queen of England.
And he just cracked up.
Yeah, he couldn't stop.
That's pretty funny.
So, again.
This makes you respect Mike Pence more.
I've had minimal amount of respect for Mike Pence for 1,000 different reasons, but the mere fact that he held the same kind of a place in his brain that you and I, that everybody holds when told not to do something, there's a sign. He's in a very important place at the Kennedy Space Center, and the sign clearly says, do not touch, and he goes, well, I'm going to touch it, and he does. That's my tribute to you, Mike Pence.
Did anything happen?
No.
Because wouldn't that have been terrible?
Right, if like the blew up.
Yeah.
Right.
See, we told you there's a reason for the sign.
Right. No, nothing happened, luckily.
I think a lot of times those do not touch are...
Right.
It doesn't really mean anything.
Right. It's the same thing, like, I think you and I have discussed this at some point. A lot of times you'll come to an intersection and there'll be a button, and it's the way it's supposed to work is if you press the button, then the light changes to your advantage. But we all know that that button's not hooked up to anything.
No, you think that. I think it definitely makes it, because that light would stay green longer. If no one hit the button, I bet it would stay like a longer green cycle. But if someone hits the button, it's shortened.
I don't think so. I got a couple intersections by my house that I've not just hit the button. I've taken a mallet. I just keep hitting the button over and over and over. It doesn't change.
That's just like the elevator door close button.
Right. That's not hooked
anything.
Up.
Yeah.
There's no way that's hooked up to anything.
Now that works.
There's a pause,
it
guys. It can't close immediately because what if your enemy's coming and you want to close it on their foot?
Well, that's exactly. And then nothing ever happens.
Right.
Well, it does eventually.
Well, if it says door close eventually button, that's not really doing much for me. When I want to close the door, I want it to happen instantaneously.
You want to close it because you don't want anybody else to get in with you.
Right.
Exactly.
You need your privacy. The car wash by my house, you walk alongside, like your car goes
the undercarriage.
Yeah.
I've washed it.
So you can press buttons to make extra soap suds and stuff. They're not hooked up.
No. Yeah, now that I agree.
Guys, no way that's hooked up.
What does that do?
It cleans the undercarriage of your car.
Why do you care?
Because if you go over mud and sometimes the underside of the bumper is really dirty.
Right.
And
no one can see that, though.
Well, I know it's
there.
You're
still going to get mist and stuff from underneath. The water.
But I hold the button and I see the jets squirt up and I do. I see it. Because at first I thought, this isn't going to do anything. So I hit it before the car got there, it flashed.
Yeah.
And
it did shoot up?
Jets were shooting up.
All right, I'm impressed because I'm convinced that's just a button and there's nothing on the other end of it by my car wash.
Well, maybe your car wash is tricking you. I don't know.
I wouldn't be shocked.
All right, don't take a break, whatever you do, before we do news.
All right. No breaks.
But now we have to.
Oh.
See, I'm trying to
tell
you not to
do something. You're a human button, Wendy.
I've been called that.
I mean that with nothing but respect. We'll take a quick break because Wendy said not to, and then Kim Gordon has the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Kim. Bill, do you still have that belt buckle that says don't touch with an arrow pointing down?
Yeah, I wear that on special occasions. Why?
I just was wondering.
Yeah, I still have that.
All right, good to know.
Never goes out of style. You know, the English language, Wendy, is a very funny thing.
Yes, it is.
Constantly changing, always up for interpretation. Well, over at MSN, they have put together a bunch of things that we collectively, the humans that walk around the planet, are saying incorrectly. That even though a lot of people think they're supposed to be said a certain way, as it turns out, we are wrong and we need to say them the right way.
I have a guess of something on that list.
Take a guess. What do you think?
If you have espresso,
yeah.
A lot of people call it expresso.
I've heard people say that.
If there's no X in it, it's espresso.
Is it espresso if you get it more quickly?
Maybe. All right, that's a good point.
It's not on here, but...
It should be. I hear so many people say espresso and it
I don't know why they're saying
crazy.
It's so wrong.
We have a thunderstorm warning in effect. That's
here in the studio.
The fries are done and there's a thunderstorm
warning. Bad day.
Can I just give the people what they need to know?
Yeah,
severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Will County in Illinois beginning at 12:36, which is now, and ending at 1:21 p.m., so that's Will County, Illinois. National Weather Service has issued a thunderstorm warning for the next 20 minutes.
I think a little longer.
Was it longer?
Yeah.
I don't
remember.
It's scrolling. Beginning, right. It's currently going, and it will run to, I'm sorry, till 1:21.
Yeah.
So almost 50 minutes.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. All right. No, espresso is not on the list, although if you're saying espresso, please know you're saying it wrong. You want to go with espresso, not expresso.
Thank you. That's one of my pet peeve words.
Yeah. No, I've heard a lot of people say it incorrectly. And I'm not around coffee people very much, but I do hear people say that.
Do you have any friends that drink coffee besides Kevin and me?
Yeah, almost everybody I know. I'm like one of the only people on the planet that doesn't drink coffee.
Does your wife drink coffee?
Yeah.
The girls?
Kylie does. Reese does not. Yeah, almost everyone I know does. And they're always amazed. It's like saying you're from another planet if you tell them you don't drink coffee. Their eyes bulge out of their head. What? You have to drink coffee. No, I don't.
I didn't always love it, but when I worked overnights, that's when I started drinking it.
Yeah, just for the caffeine rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't love it. I put so much cream and sugar in it. You might like it the way I have it.
Because it doesn't even taste like coffee anymore.
That's so gross.
No.
Not the judge.
Black coffee is just
It's so strong.
And it's just like
mud.
Weak. Bitter.
Yeah.
It's like watery, at least when you put some cream, even the fake creamer that I used up here, it just thickens it a little bit.
Right.
Can't do it.
Do you remember when you and I did mornings at Q101, we followed a guy whose name, his radio name, it wasn't his real name as it turns out, was Zoltar.
You mean the brother from another planet?
Brother from another planet, Zoltar.
And I liked it.
When we came in every day, he had one and sometimes two cups that were made up of a combination of half coffee and half cigarette butts. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that.
Oh, it was like the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It was always planted right next to him, this big coffee mug that was filled, like I said, halfway up, and then there would be about a half a dozen or eight cigarette butts.
Nothing goes with the coffee better than a cigarette, though, but you're supposed to have them separately.
I guess. But I remember whenever I'd give him a goodbye kiss, I had this weird... taste in my mouth. Couldn't shake it for the rest of the day. Bye, Zoltar, brother from another planet. Great show. Ugh. All right, so here's one that people, and I, This is, I've been on a crusade to change this forever.
All right, talk.
I think I'm right there with you. I think I know.
Do you know what it is, Kevin?
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
People say this all the time. You tell them something and they go, you know what? I could care less.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's totally wrong.
It is, it couldn't be more wrong.
It's like could be more wrong.
Well,
it could
be,
but it isn't. It is the most wrongest of wrong. It's the exact when you say that, it's the exact opposite. But then when you have that conversation, people don't understand what you mean.
I know.
Because you're saying you do care. If you couldn't care less,
right.
Then yeah, it means
right.
You don't care at all.
Couldn't care less signifies that no matter what happens, there's no way to have less interest
right.
in what's being said or done. But if you say I could care less,
then you could.
It defeats the purpose.
That is a big pet peeve of mine, too.
How do so many people get that incorrect?
Because look at how people, instead of saying a whole other thing, they've turned it into whole nother.
Right.
Where things just blend together. And you hear something, people they repeat it, and it gets lost in translation,
basically. Right. When Terry and I started dating, she would say a lot to me, because I say a lot of things that you don't need to know. But she would say, I could care. You know what? I could care less. And I go, you couldn't care less. And she would look at me and go, what? And I go, you couldn't care less, not you could care less. And she goes, same difference, which is another one.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Same difference. All right. So I would try to reason it with her and go, and exactly as we did, I'd take it beat by beat. And she would just look at me and go, I could care less about this.
Now I care even more.
I couldn't care less. Right. About less. Yeah. I know. So,
does she say it correctly now?
Now she just does. She doesn't care about anything now. She's just lost interest in everything.
All right. Well, she was right then. I could care less.
Right.
She kept caring less and less and less and now doesn't care at all.
Now she's just lost interest. Sometimes doesn't even get out of bed.
Shut up.
Just stays in bed the whole day. What about this one? I'm sure you've heard people say this. They talk about some battle, some kind of conflict, and they say mano to mano. The way to resolve this, mano to mano. And it's their way of saying man to man, but what mano to mano means really is hand to hand, not man to man.
And it's
mano
a mano. Mano,
right. Right.
Yeah, people are stupid.
People are, yeah.
Let's play that line again from the Frankie Goes to Hollywood song or Harvey Wallbanger. What was the name of that band?
Been around the world and found that only stupid people are breeding.
Yes.
What were you calling them?
I don't know.
Did you say Harvey Wallbanger?
Harvey Wallbanger.
Yes, that's
Harvey Danger.
Oh, that's close.
Kind of. Same difference.
I couldn't care less. Good. I don't even know what to say now.
It's too hard now. Now, this is one that I think is more open to interpretation, and that is when you should use who and when you should use whom. I find myself now saying whom more than who because it sounds more ritzy.
I was just going to say, you're trying to make yourself sound
to impress somebody.
Richer.
Yep, that's what I'm trying to do. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure when to use one over the other.
Well, like if you say, Bill, you have a telephone call.
Whom is it?
No,
that's
that
would
be
say.
Who. Whom shall I say is calling?
Oh, that's right. That's the right that's
I can
the right
teach you how
to
sound like you're...
I've been saying whom almost at a 4 or 5 to 1 ratio over who.
You don't... I've never heard you say it.
Oh, I'm going to... You're going to start hearing me say it a lot.
Who cares?
Once we get into...
You wouldn't say whom cares. Whom... Who's the actor? Brit whom?
Brit, no, the news guy? Brit whom? No, Hume.
Oh, who cares?
My favorite band is now the Guess Whom.
No.
It's
or
not.
What about just the whom?
I don't like them at all. It says, it all depends. When should you use whom and when should you use who? It all depends. Do you need a subject or an object? A subject, which would be who, is the actor of the sentence. For instance, Who left the dogs out?
Who let the
they
dogs
should
out?
Whom?
They should honestly go back in the studio and recut that, and it should be whom let the dogs out? Whom? That would be. They'd make so much more money.
No, they wouldn't.
You don't think they would?
No.
You want to say who left the roller skates on the sidewalk because the object whom is acted upon.
What?
This is the part when I was a kid in school, I would just
you
fall off.
Out?
I would fall out of my chair.
I just completely shut my brain off when you said that, because that I can't comprehend that. If who is the subject, so
right.
What's the sentence again?
Right. The original sentence is, who left the roller skates on the sidewalk?
If you could replace it with a name, like Bill left the things on the sidewalk.
Right. That's what they're, yeah, exactly right. So they're explaining that if it's a common object like that, like roller skates, it's who. But if it's a person, like if one of your parents calls you, you'd say, whom are you calling? If roller skates call you, you wouldn't say that.
I know. How about if you can replace it with a name,
yeah,
then you use who.
Right.
Other instances.
What if Doctor Who calls you?
Doctor Whom.
Doctor
Whom?
Question mark?
Doctor Whom should I say is calling?
But I think, Bill, you brought up a whole like untapped market here, going back and grammatically correcting famous songs.
Right.
People would love it.
Right.
People would not love it.
Oh, Wendy.
People would flip you off with double barrels.
I am currently publishing a children's book.
I know what this is. Go.
What? Let me see if you know it.
Horton Hears the Whoms.
Right. All right.
Horton Hears a Whom.
Right. And Dr. Seuss's estate is all over me, and I don't care. I could care less. That's what I told them.
Why is it Seuss and not Sweese?
Dr. Sweese?
I presume.
Whom shall I say is calling? Dr. Sweese. Now, a similar argument comes up over when to say less and when to say fewer, it says here.
I should do both. I understand, and I know that's why you brought that up.
Well, it says, in general, use fewer when you're specifying a number of countable things.
So there are fewer than three dummies in this room.
That's debatable.
You're right, because I'm in a separate room.
Right, right, right. So when you're composing a tweet and you do it in 140 characters or fewer, not less.
I would have said less.
I would have said less, too, because that's the phrase we always hear for that, 140 characters or less. But they're saying if you can count, if it's countable, then you want to say fewer and not less.
I think I'm just going to stop speaking altogether. This is.
I couldn't care fewer?
Well, yeah, I couldn't care fewer. And then the character on WKRP in Cincinnati's name is now Fewer Nessman. It's not Les Nessman anymore. Also, we are saying, according to this on MSN, we're using bring and brung incorrectly.
Brung is not a word.
I don't think brung is a word.
We brung some to the chimney.
But
brung is not a word.
I don't think brung is a word, is it?
No.
But you've heard people say brung.
It brought is the past
brought
tense.
Brought is what you want to say. Right.
We will bring you to the pool. Oh, I'm glad you brought me.
Yeah. There are fewer than 12 swimmers in the pool. I could care less. I'm going swimming.
And I ate.
Right.
I'm not waiting a half an hour.
I already ate.
Or less. So then would it be less? Because you wouldn't say I'm not waiting a half an hour or...
Yeah, because it's still a countable amount, right? Isn't
so
it?
I'm not waiting a half hour or fewer?
Yeah, that you wouldn't say fewer.
No, these are wrong.
These are wrong. All right. I know this one is dark. Please forgive me. But somebody who offs themselves with a rope, they say hanged themselves.
That's the proper terminology.
But you would think it would be hung themselves.
Well, it's the whole lie down, lay down. If you're hanging a picture on the wall, that picture has been hung well.
Congratulations to the picture. hats off to you, sir.
Oh, you'd have a 10-gallon hat.
And you don't need a nail to hang it either. I don't understand that. I said it. I don't even understand that.
I think
that.
I do, and I don't do. Know.
Yeah, I might. I don't know.
But people, and it bothers me. There are some of these things, and it's news reporting and news writing. I did news writing for a while,
right.
And I bought this language, this book, this terminology book, the way you are supposed to do it, and it's like, you know, he has been hanged, and yeah. Everybody says, why wouldn't you just say hung?
Right.
It's not. That's not how you do it. Like, went missing is another thing. Why wouldn't you just say, you know, my dog ran away or is missing?
Is missing,
but
not
no,
went missing.
It went missing. And I, because sometimes people text during news reports, and
yeah.
It's like, why are you saying it this way? There's a certain style
right.
that is news writing and
right.
reading.
Right, right, right. Now, this one's interesting, and I'll give their example, but then I'll give the example that confuses me more, okay? They say if you're in a room with more than one brother-in-law, you wouldn't say brother-in-laws.
No, it's brothers-in-law.
You would say brothers-in-law, which makes sense. But now here's my version of it that I can't figure out why it's this way for anything. When I was a kid and I would listen to a baseball game, they would compare, I'll just use this example. They would say he's one of the best third basemen in all of baseball. And I'd go, no. You want to say third basemen, but they would never do it that way. They would say second basemen, first basemen, third basemen. Why wouldn't it be men at that point instead of men's? I never got to ask Lou Boudreaux this. It's my biggest regret in my whole life, Wendy, is that I never got to ask Lou Boudreaux this question.
You're just so funny. Why would it be men's instead of men's?
Right. That's a legitimate question, isn't it?
Well, when you say the first baseman is,
yes,
it's singular.
It is singular. But if you gather, like at the All-Star game, you'll have three guys who play first base sitting together. I would say, look who's sitting over there. Three first basemen, M-E-N. But Lou Boudreaux would come back and he'd say, oh, no. First basemen's.
I agree with that because it'd be three catchers, three pitchers, three second basemen's.
But catcher or pitcher can't be changed. Like one letter can't change the amount of them.
Yeah,
I know.
Like
one man times two is men. So you don't have that luxury with catchers or pitchers or outfielders or shortstops. But first, second, and third base is different.
When are you writing your book, Bill Left's Imponderables?
I gotta work on that book because it would sell over a
dozen. What was the first
copies.
Example? Before you said the basemen's
brothers-in-law.
Oh yeah, because same with blow dry. A lot of people will say, "What hair?"
I'm listening.
God, a lot of people will say I blue dried my hair.
Who says that?
I've heard
Lou Boudreaux.
What's wrong with him?
I'm going to cover up his star on the Walk of Fame if he continues to correct our grammar.
You would say, I blow-dried my hair.
Right.
Brothers-in-law, mothers-in-law, not
right.
Mother-in-laws. So that one's totally easy. I get that.
All right. Now, they also use this example. If you were to have a particularly great game of golf, more than one hole-in-one, you wouldn't say hole-in-ones. You would say holes-in-one.
Right.
But that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So does the brothers-in-law.
If more than one person comes in second in a contest, they would be the runner-ups or the runners-up?
Runners-up.
Runners-up. But no, that's right. Runners-up.
Why is it men?
That one's still bugging me.
I understand what you're saying because grammatically that's what it should be, but they're keeping the position as it is, first base man. So there's four of them. It's not men because they're not doing it together. They're all doing it singularly, so that's why men's.
That one still doesn't. That one bother you a little bit?
Not really.
Just
I have bigger things to worry about.
I understand that.
Can Rick talk to us?
Yes.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. How are you?
Confused.
Very confused.
Yeah, Wendy confuses me all the time, and I hear it all everywhere, like newscasters, DJs, friends. I hear it all the time, and I honestly don't even know the right answer.
What is it?
A lot of people say doo-doo, like I
right.
do that.
Right.
Is it I do-do, or is it just I do that?
Well, it's funnier to say
that's what
doo-doo.
I do-do.
Right.
I would never say that.
Do as I say, not as I do-do. Right? No, you're not. You would think that you would just leave out one of the do's in that. Wouldn't you?
Can you give me a specific example? Like, Rick asked Bill a question, and then Bill answered the way... Because I don't think I understand this one.
Something simple, like, when you get ready in the morning, do you brush your teeth?
Oh, that's what I do, right? Like, if that was what was up for debate, you do hear people saying do twice in a row...
That's
right.
Wrong.
...when only one do does.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Do does?
No, but I mean, I don't know if it's correct, but everybody does it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would just say, yeah, that's what I do. Or, yeah, I do that.
But you've heard people say do-do.
I don't hear that very often.
No? All right.
Well, have you even heard Bill say it?
I have said it, because it makes me laugh to say do-do. Because I see myself,
10.
I'm working at WGN, I just said do-do on the radio. That's why.
Thank you, Rick, for pointing that out. Have a super weekend.
You too.
Bye, Rick. Have a good weekend. All right. So this is one now. Our friend Steve Bertrand is guilty of this one. But I hear a lot of people say this.
What?
They will talk about something and they'll say, well, you know what that does is that speaks to the problem of. But it doesn't speak to the problem. It speaks about the problem.
It would speak to the issue of something.
Not really.
Because people say, to your point, that's what I can't stand. And that's been happening all over the
radio.
What
should it be instead of to your point? What would you substitute in?
Just start talking.
Oh. You mean just as a bridge to get your idea across?
Like, you know, or Billy, earlier you said this. That's how I would do it.
Yeah.
To your point from 3 minutes ago.
I know what you mean.
And I hear that all the time now.
But that's not grammatically incorrect. That's just a weird, awkward bridge.
But why is that to the point, but you're not addressing...
Oh, the actual point.
No. But your thing that you said Bertrand's guilty of, what is his again?
Steve says a lot. Steve wasn't the first person I ever heard say it,
but he says it a lot.
He'll go, well, that speaks to the idea that he uses that phrase, speaks to.
That's correct.
And I have said that on occasion. Because I go, well, this is the thing to say if I'm trying to get this point across. But then the more I think about it, I go, it doesn't speak to that. It speaks about that.
Yeah, but then what about to your point? It wouldn't be about your point. I think they're interchangeable in that respect.
They might be. Yeah, maybe.
I've never heard him say that. Can we ring a bell next time he says that?
Yeah.
All right. Right in the middle of the newscast.
Right.
We'll this speaks that. To the problem. Ding, ding, ding.
Right. Now, they also say many people are confused as to whether or not they should use different than or different from. That most people use different than. I do. That's the one I would choose if given the option of saying different than or different from. But the correct answer, it says, this isn't a big offense, but if you can easily substitute from for then, as in, my mother's tomato sauce is different from my mother-in-law's, then you should do it. Use then for comparison. My mother's tomato sauce is better than my mother-in-law's.
That makes total sense.
But don't you think people say that one incorrectly more times than not?
Probably.
I do.
I don't.
I know I say that one all the time. And what's the one we always... It's when to say me and when to say I.
Well, you claim that
I'm
your
the worst
school
in the world at this.
Told you never to ever say
and
you
me.
And me.
Our nuns told us... Over and over again, it's never correct to say Wendy and me. Thanks for joining Wendy and me. You never want to say and me.
But that's correct. That would be correct. Because when you remove the other one, like if you say, join Bill and me tomorrow, that would be correct.
Yeah.
Because if I remove the Bill and, I would say join me tomorrow. I wouldn't say join I tomorrow.
Right.
But if I say Bill and I are going to the store, I lose the Bill and, I'm saying I am going to the store. So that's how you figure out which is right.
You've seen me, like, so many times. I'll come to a crossroads in a sentence, and I'll go, no, I got three rules to remember on when to say me and when to say I. And then Sister Raymond is in the corner of my head going, go ahead, say you and me and see what I do.
See, I didn't have a bad nun. I had a bad big sister who every time I would even tell a story, she would correct me to this day.
Oh, no.
So in a weird way, she has helped me. But I do. Those are two things that you and I pause
every time.
And then listeners, of course, point out when we're wrong.
Yeah.
But if you can, like, you just think about yourself. Be selfish for a minute and just say, join me tomorrow. So it would be join Bill and me tomorrow. I wouldn't say join I tomorrow. That's how you determine what is right. I'm going to the Ulta after work.
Yeah.
Bill and I are going to Ulta after work.
So that's
how
you
decide.
So that's when you would say that?
Yes.
Is if there's cosmetics involved?
No, you just remove the and... The name and see which works. Like, I have a headache today. Bill and I have a headache today.
Oh.
It wouldn't be me have headache. Ugga, ugga.
Me have headache. Me need Excedrin.
This is Grammar 101.
Here's what I used to think about this all the time. Ron Majors is one of the best newscasters that's ever been, right?
Love him.
So in his teases for the news, he would always say, join Kathy Brock and me at 5, 6, and 10. And I always pictured all the nuns I had at St. Damien watching on their couch going, come on!
They were just saying the rosary, saying, bless him.
Ron Majors.
Don't make him go to hell for saying that
right.
Wrong.
Right.
He's correct, because it's if you lose the Kathy Brock, which who wants to
lose Kathy Brock?
He would say, join me tomorrow afternoon.
At 5, 6, and 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So if you remove the name, you just kind of think of yourself for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to have ice cream after the show, so that would be Bill and I are having ice cream after the show.
Right.
But
so you would never use me in that case. It would always be an I?
Well, how about join Bill and me to go get some ice cream after the show?
Join Kathy Brockaby for ice cream at 5, 6, and 10.
I am just talking, and you're looking at me so blankly.
Because I'm starting to understand it, but I swear to you, tomorrow, if I'm in the middle of the sentence, I'll
me too.
And I'll get it wrong.
It's because of my sister and because of your nuns.
Because of the nuns.
That's my sister.
Well, yeah. Yeah. All right.
And I read online that people who correct people's grammars are jerks,
yeah,
by the way. I did read that,
That's true.
Google that, people.
All right.
People who correct your grammar are jerks.
Yep.
Sorry, Betsy.
All right.
Correct your grandma. Grandma?
Grammar.
You want to try
the guy from Frasier?
It's the weekend. I'm done.
Me and Wendy are too. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll close things out
because that's
what we do. Oh, that's when I say Wendy and I. Stick around. It's coming to a close soon. Bill and Wendy, WGN. So follow along. It should be fun. That's it. We'll be back on Monday with another show. I think it's a new show Monday. Is it a rerun or a new show?
A new one.
A new one on Monday. Bye, Wendy.
Have a great weekend, Bill.